What's the title of this thing?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Perfect. Okay. I even sat up for you. Scarborough Dude, on this Saturday, July 28th, I think, sitting in Sal, and I've been napping. I guess I'm just the accumulation from such a busy week with my tour here has me tired. But hey, before we go into that, I'd like to apologize to anyone who was disturbed and wanted to correct me, the fact that on about the 25-minute mark of the previous Dixon Jeans podcast, released today, by the way, number 693, I used the word divulge when I really meant diverge. Okay? And I just wanted to put that out there in case anybody thought I didn't know the difference and, you know, felt they wanted to tweet me and tell me or message me, you know, and tell me, Ken, there's a difference here. But we're also afraid that, gee, if they did that, they might embarrass me or humiliate me if it took off and other people heard about it. So don't worry about that. It was a mistake, and my apologies to everybody. And while I'm at it, why not an apology right now for all the mistakes I'm going to make on this podcast, too? Because the wrong word is going to come up. I don't edit. And in the big scheme of things, it just doesn't fucking matter. Okay. Man, I said I was tired, and I am, but it's a good tired. But I guess I'm not going to go through all the details. Oh, my God, my girls arrived safely Tuesday. By Wednesday, I think we had this and that. And lots of little things that always test your patience, you know, on a tour. But part of my job is problem solving, staying positive, you know, seeing that everything works out and making sure, most of all, that everybody who has come here from Japan is happy and being taken care of well and, you know, having a good time. And I think we're achieving that. In fact, right now, my wife is out with one of the teachers and a friend of my wife's at the Toronto Zoo, because we're not going this year, and I know this teacher kind of would have liked to have gone, so my wife said, I'll take her, and then we'll take her out to supper. And that's absolutely wonderful. It's an extra bonus, and it's the kind of thing the teachers who are coming with the students and have a tough enough job, you know, looking after them the whole time they're here and leaving their own friends and families behind in Japan, because they really don't have any choice. The school tells them to come. I make sure they have a great time. So the tour is going well, and I guess the point I wanted to make is, as this one was approaching, I was thinking, oh man, do I have the energy? Can I do that walking? Because my leg does get tired, and I found a way around it. I just do less and less walking, and you know, I know when to rest now more than before, and assign things to other people when I can. Yeah, would you mind telling the bus driver we're over here? Thank you. Getting the students that I've recruited from the school. Yeah, you guys, can you carry these cans in and put them in the fridge? Thank you. But I realized people are enjoying it so much. The whole families, again, you know, people are into it. They take it. Not just seriously, but they're enjoying it. That's why the people come back again and again. They love these girls. They're so polite, cute in their own way. And even the new family is really, really enjoying it. It's quite clear. So it makes me think, yeah, Ken, you got no choice. You're doing this again next year. And I was ready at this point to think, will this be the last year? And, of course, the worry, the headache, the anxiety, the stress comes from, my God, am I going to get 20 families, the 20 families I need to for everybody to have a good place to stay in? And because eventually, I mean, people are going to have to stop. I mean, we have people who are getting older, and who knows? And that's something that I just have to have faith on, that by the time they arrive in July, yep, that'll be in place, and no compromises on my part. Nobody goes into a home that I don't feel comfortable about. So there you go. Anyway, I also realize it is good for me mentally and physically. Physically, because I simply have to get up and move around. I'm walking more than ever. And if I wasn't doing this, I'd just be, I don't know, well, I'd be off on the road trip somewhere. But it's good for me on that count. And it is good for me mentally. Like, I was concerned, oh my God, I'm going to forget stuff, like important stuff. And it always comes up. Like, I've sometimes woken up in the middle of the night, like, oh, yeah, gee, I need those. Got to get those cards to the principal tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I need that check for the University of Toronto. And, oh, yeah, we're having shawarma. We've got to get drinks. And so stuff like that. But it comes up and it works. And there's been no goof-ups on my part, you know. And that's just important. So anyway, I'm not going to say too much more about that other than to say it's going well, it's successful. And I suppose when I measure my life, you know, it's not going to be about this podcast. There's a very good chance it would be measured by, well, what did I do? Well, I've had well over 1,000 students come to Canada that I've looked after and made arrangements for them to have a really good, memorable learning experience. And I'm proud of that. And that's worth something. I guess I already said, I don't know what I said. I haven't listened to the previous podcast, But that counts. It's real. It's very real and involves other people. And I know earlier I was reflecting on it's not about what you think, but it is what you do. And this actually is doing. So, oh my God, sounds like I'm singing my own praises here. And that's not entirely what I wanted to do. I just wanted to get started on this next podcast. I probably will not be releasing this until maybe we're at camp. Which is okay. I'll find a way of putting it up. But it is the Saturday. It's my day to sort of get caught up. I got a lot done this morning. Just bills to pay and keeping the accounts up. And revamping the form letter that I send out with the checks. And I try and get as much done as I can on this Saturday and Sunday. Because, again, I'm busy here in Toronto, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, it's an all-day Niagara Falls, and this year I have to be the guide. So I've got to read up on that, what to tell them. And then we're off. And by God, that's fun. So Scarborough Dude, in a very short intro, that I didn't really say much of anything, did I? Damn it, you know, how can you do that? You know, you got to give them something. Oh, this other, I still am, the entire time I'm doing this, I am thinking of what it is I would like to do on this other podcast. A tentative working title is For the Others. And, of course, I'd work on that because it could be also interpreted to be, you know, Fuck the Others, depending on what point you're making. And it's still coming along. It's taking, I don't know if I can say it's taking shape, but the content is coming out in thoughts of, oh, yeah, that's who I want to address, and that's the point I want to make. And there are things that I've probably already done here, not so directly, on the Dixon James podcast. And the feeling is also, it's quite defensive. It's like, hey, If you're listening to this, you really don't have to listen to that other one. And I think there might be just a few people who'd say, yeah, actually, I would like to listen to the other one. Because you say you might be a little more focused than you are on Dicks and Janes, and that would certainly be the goal. There's a lot of, probably I might state a lot of views. I probably might say a lot of things that are annoying to some of you. So I'm not wanting to get a carryover from Dicks and Janes onto this new podcast if and when I put it out. Okay, oh my God. You know, I am fascinated in life by the seeds. And just saying something about something you might do, that seed sometimes does grow into something. And other times it dies. It doesn't, I can't say bear fruit because it's still a seed, but it just, nothing happens. It just, it was an idea. It struggled to be born and it was a stillbirth, or it just simply didn't work. Whatever analogy you want to use, you know what I mean. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Youth bulge. I think it was something like, you know, half the population's under 25, or probably not far off.
And then in India.
Yeah, and then they have this just a very different level of diversity in the population and resultant sectarianism. And it's a different place to weather these changes when you're talking about the implications of automating many jobs away. That wave breaks differently on those two shores.
Well, and in fact, before we get to China, I should make one other point, which is that it's interesting that the one advanced industrial democracy where none of these problems are happening is Japan, right? And in Japan, if you go to Japan today, and I spent a lot of time there, you will find that the popular trust in leaders, business community, media, and their political party system is pretty much exactly what it was 40 years ago. And how come they are the exceptions with the U.S., Canada, Australia, Britain, all of Europe? How come they're the ones that aren't experiencing this wave of populism in us versus them? It's really interesting. First is because the population is actually shrinking. So per capita, they're doing a lot better. So they're not as worried about losing jobs. They're losing people, right? Second is because they actually don't have any immigration. So Japan is Japanese. So you don't have an us versus them inside Japan, right? And the third is that their military isn't actually allowed to fight outside of Japan. So you don't have these poor enlisted men and women that are all saying, I gave the ultimate for my country, and look what happened to me. And so the one country that doesn't have a problem with globalism is the one that never actually embraced globalism to begin with. And I think that's really interesting.
It is interesting. Unfortunately, that is also an alt-right or even further right, you know, racist right talking point. I don't know if you've encountered this, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, neo-Nazis will say in defense of their racism. They'll say, look at Japan. Are the Japanese racist? They keep everyone out and, you know, they're thriving. Nobody's wasting a lot of time demonizing the Japanese for not letting non-Japanese move into their country.
And you know, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I had not encountered that, yeah. But I'm not surprised. And the interesting thing, of course, is that Japan's been punished for that for decades, because when you have that little diversity, you don't get a lot of entrepreneurship and you don't get a lot of growth. And so much of the dynamism of the American economy historically has come from immigration, right? I mean, everyone knows Steve Jobs comes from Syria. You know, my grandmother came over here from Aleppo. I mean, you know, we all have these wonderful stories. But if the world is getting much more dangerous, if the world is getting much more volatile, we're not going to focus as much on growth. We're going to focus more on stability and resilience. When you focus on growth, you want diversity and you want as much immigration as possible. You want open borders. If you stop focusing on growth and you start focusing on stability, then you start talking about walls. You start separating people off. And, you know, one of the things that depressed me most about writing this book was my Israel-Palestine story, because, you know, 20 years ago, everybody thought that if the Israelis did not come to a solution with the Palestinians, that it was the end of Israel. And Tom Friedman has written those pieces probably every 2 months for 10 years of his life. It's just not true. I mean, Israel today is one of the most sustainable democracies in the world. Very anti-corruption, very strong, independent judiciary, rule of law, great educational system. Even the Arabs living in Israel feel pretty good about it, as long as you're not Palestinian in the occupied territories. And they've completely walled these people off, and it's actually quite sustainable. It's just not the kind of country that a cosmopolitan would want to live in.
Yeah, I mean, the lesson there certainly is that walls work if you're trying to mitigate, I mean, in this case, you know, suicidal terrorism just wandering across your border.
And Trump says that. He said many times, I've seen him on the campaign trail, you want to talk about walls? Ask Israel. Walls work. He says it. And you know, like so many things Trump says, you know, even though he doesn't necessarily get facts right, there's a grain of truth in a lot of what he talks about. And this is definitely one of those places. Mm.
Okay, well, so briefly, let's talk about the looming trade war with China and what you think about that, and then just segue into what all Trumpian things look like.
Check, check, check. I just remembered why I don't record around water fountains, and that's because you can hear them. But, well, I'm not going to move right now. I'm sitting on a bench to Alice, B.W. Garst, Love, Todd. I'm guessing Alice is no longer with us. There's a little park in the town of Niagara on the lake, the picturesque town. Not my favorite place in the world by any means, but it's a nice place to bring the girls after our day in Niagara Falls. It's part of the journey. We give them a free hour to walk around town, do a little window shopping, maybe buy souvenirs or a cold drink or an ice cream or whatever, although they don't need anything. We had a huge meal at Betty's in Chippewa. That's another tradition I always look forward to, except I eat too much. And they have fabulous fish, fish and chips. That's what they're famous for. And I always grab the chicken as well, and the pasta, and the fries, and the coleslaw, and the salad, and the pie. And then I'm full. Anyway, I thought I'd talk to you once more. I've recorded from here before. I lead them into town, and then I just take a break. God, I am exhausted. I set my, you know, I'm wearing one of these Fitbits, and I set it for my goal would be 6,000 steps a day. And for me, that's a lot, and rarely do I make that. But on this trip, I mean, I'm exceeding that and hitting 10,000. And sadly for me, it's very tiring. I guess maybe it's just wearing this leg brace. I don't know. You know, it stops the drop foot. But for some reason, walking has become a real... just a tiring thing for me. And I shudder because, you know, I get angry when I see people in their little motorized wheelchairs. And they go, fuck, I don't want to be doing that. But just this last leg of the journey, walking into town, leading the girls, knowing I have to lead them back to the bus, which is in the Fort George parking lot, 10 minutes away. Oh, shit. And I'm just tired, but it's always that way. It's just, you know, each year gets a little, I suppose, a little harder. And I keep saying, okay, you're 70, you know, hey, I appreciate, you know, loosen up, let go, don't feel bad about it, except the fact that you're older now and you are going to be more tired. But it's hard sometimes because I still think young and I'm with, you know, 32, 16-year-olds full of energy. But, yeah, it's tiring. But as of tomorrow... Once I've finished all my packing tonight and I've bought a good supply of beer and wine, and we'll have enough for the next 10, 11, 12 days, I'll be okay. As soon as we get to camp, the good times begin, for me anyway. But I just thought I'd take stock. Tour has gone very well. The Wexford students I recruited were very good overall. A couple did still find it hard to give up their cell phone and texting, even though we had asked them not to. It's a difficult thing for a lot of young people and actually older people too, to put the damn phone aside and talk to the people around you. And I think the two teachers I recruited, because they're younger than I am, we're getting a little bit of pushback from some of the students, which was not very nice, not very welcome. But overall, great kids, and everything worked well, and they bonded very well with the Japanese girls, and everybody had a good time. One of the boys in particular proved to be very popular. So, yeah. Not much more to say. I just needed to take stock and say, all right, this is one phase of the journey almost over. We'll be back in town by 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Families will pick us up, and then tonight everybody packs and gets ready and says goodbye. And then tomorrow, I've been advised to try and speed it up so that the parents aren't left hanging around waiting to wave to the bus as it pulls out, because the girls end up crying an awful lot. You'd be surprised at how quickly they bond in that very short time with their host. People who are, you know, very nervous at first, and I know one lady hugged her girl, and the girl almost, you know, was in a state of shock, because there's not a lot of hugging going on in Japan. And by the end of the week, this girl was running towards a host mother to give her a big hug, and I could see this huge smile on her face, and it was such a beautiful thing to see. It really, really was. And that happened just consistently. You're tired of me saying this, but it is truly a wonderful program and a good thing all around. And it's the thing that makes me want to keep going. So this me starting off saying, oh my God, I'm tired, this walking's killing me. I don't know a way around it. I took the one morning off, another afternoon off. I'm trying to pull myself out here and there, but it's hard because, you know, I can't just pass this off to someone. I am the company. The teachers I hire are only for the 6 days we're actually at class. So, anyway, I'll leave it at that. I don't have much more to say. Maybe I'll go get myself a cold drink. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Niagara on the Lake on August 2nd, I believe, 2018. Bye for now. Change yet? Oh, it's not our girls. Maybe a different group. I don't know. The camp is full. I am at Bark Lake Leadership Center. Leadership Training Center. Sitting in the Oak Center all by myself. The Oak Center is this beautiful, huge facility that's got about 24 rooms. And only our group can use it. Otherwise, you know, adults, executives, and so on. We're the only high school group that has ever had permission to use this place, because we are so well behaved. Everybody loves Kamajo. We have such a reputation up here. It's wonderful. You arrive, and everybody, even down to the kitchen staff, they know the Kamajo group. The girls are so polite. They're so lovely. They're so friendly. And it's a terrific thing. I mean, it really does say something about, I guess, this school in particular, but Japanese culture as a whole. So, anyway, we have a reputation to live up to, but they always do. And I have, as you may have heard, been exhausted. And I knew as soon as I got up here, they've assigned a terrific staff for us. V, short for Victoria, I believe. Kate and Heather. Kate, who's done it before. And they're just lovely young ladies who know what they're doing and have a perfect manner with these girls. So the first thing they do is sort of have them make their own little necklace. Now, it's just simply four beads, but each bead stands for something: respect, safety, you know, I can't remember the other two, and to wear on the wrist. It's a wonderful way of delivering the concept of what are you going to do up here. You're going to have a good time, but you're going to cooperate, you're going to respect the environment, you're going to respect the people around you. And with each bead, there's, you know, things that they are told and should try and keep in mind to make sure it's successful. It's a nice little touch. They used to just write it all on the board. Now they actually give them this little bead necklace on the very first day. Fabulous lunch. It was a great, big, very tasty soft tackle. And because the camp is full, the dining hall is full, and it's a mob scene. There's other Asian groups here, too. It's hard to know who's who. But we've been assigned tables by the windows, which we always get. And because our girls know how to be on time, we can get our meals first if we sort of come early every day. And that suits me just fine. So we really do, we do get special treatment here because we've earned that. So anyway, the girls went off to have a tour, and then they were going to do some high ropes practice. And the teachers went off with them, and I went straight to my room and lay down, listened to the Shane and Tom Squeeze Box podcast, fell asleep. I didn't like the podcast starting with an ad right off the beginning for another podcast, but now that they're on a network, that's the price they have to pay. But anyway, so I've got to re-listen again, but I just needed that time to lie down. It's a wonderful, like, pine-paneled room. I could get at a really nice cottage. And with your own bathroom and everything else, of course. And the sofa. And, oh, it's luxury for me anyway. And that's it. I just thought I'd bring you up to date. I'll let you know. This is the part where I joke with everybody and say, okay, now I'm on holiday. And but the fact is, it's true. I mean, I keep an eye on things. When the girls are getting the meals, I might go into the serving section and get them to speed it up a little. Don't take too much time because there's others behind you. And so I've never quite switched off. But the real role of getting them out and doing things and taking care of the times and so on, that's somebody else's job now, not mine. Our bus driver, Paul, is excellent, who we've worked with for a few years now, was able to. This is a very tight spot to get into. Not just the trip up was fine, but to get actually into this building, it's an extremely tight corner overgrown with trees, and he's able to do it in one shot every time, and then back out. It's incredible. So, anyway, I thought I'd just get in a few words before the girls come back from their activity, and bring you up to date. You'll probably hear a little more from me from Bark Lake. Usually I like to go down by the rocks at a quiet time. We've only just arrived. It's Friday. We leave Monday morning after breakfast. I posted on Facebook. Most of you won't know, but I arrived with all the families there by 8:30 to say goodbye to the girls, and of course hugs and tears and everything else. And then the bus driver called me aside and said, got some bad news. I got a flat. I've got to get fixed before we go. So that, thought, oh boy, there goes the whole schedule. But they had a guy from OK Tire come out pretty quickly, knew what to do, jacked up the back end of the bus, and replaced that tire with a spare in no time at all. And we arrived almost, maybe half an hour later than we should have. So that was great. Yeah, not much more to say. I did pour myself a little glass of wine. Didn't like to do it in front of anybody, but I figured I had to kick off the vacation part with a nice little taste of Cabernet Sauvignon. I buy Ontario wine and Ontario local craft beer to support our industries. All this money, I realized the other day, I did some adding up and realized, well, I've paid to individual families here at least $150,000. We're talking over 25 years, not a ton of money, but still, again, it's money from Japan that goes into people's pockets here. And overall, $5 million in, maybe more, I don't know, from Japan into Canadian currency, and all spent in Canada. Every girl every year spends a lot on souvenirs and clothing and stuff. So, maple syrup. So I feel good about that part of it, too. Very good. Anyway, enough. I've sung my own praises often enough. Scarborough Dude. Signing up from this big echoey room. This lovely, like a giant living room at the Oak Center of Bark Lake Leadership Center. Bye. For now. Check, check. I think maybe I'll whisper for this one. Sorry. I'm back in my room, lying on the bed, windows open, still hot. It's about 6:30. The group's meeting at 7 for a little campfire and probably s'mores. I think that's what we're doing. I haven't checked. You know, we map out this in advance and say, okay, these are the activities, but honestly, I get here and I just want to let go. However, I think I was feeling pretty smug earlier when I spoke, and then I went and did something kind of stupid. The staff make it very clear when we come here that, okay, there's keys in the door that nobody else uses this facility, so you don't take the key into your room or put it in your pocket because you'll lock out your roommate. Just leave the key in the door. It's safe. So they explain that. And then I think I asked them to explain again. What do you do with the keys? Don't take the key out of the door. Couldn't make it any simpler. Do you understand? Yes. And then, of course, two girls come up. We can't get into our room. Why not? The key is locked in the room. And you think, oh, okay, maybe you didn't understand, but I mean, that's why we asked, do you understand? So, you know, the staff had to go all the way back, and it's a big facility here, so it's a bit of a hike to go back and try and get hold of a master key or a spare key and get the girls back in. It's just a waste of time and energy, but they did it. Okay, so I made a point of saying, okay, let's maybe be very clear, leave the key in the door. So everybody goes in, does all their afternoon activities, come back. Two girls come up to me. We can't get in the room. These are two other girls. Why not? The key is in the room. Well, why? You know, and I'm clearly impatient. Like, I don't, just don't understand that. Like, this is, like, why did you do that? Didn't you hear us? We told you, don't put the key in your room. Leave the key in the door. And I guess the way I said it was, you know, not making things any better. The girls wanted to get in the room. I said, so I backed off a little. I said, look, if you need to use the washroom, you go to your friend's room. But I don't have a key. I can't help you. And I guess I showed that I was a little exasperated. And these are 16-year-old girls. And I have a 17-year-old man, much double their size, you know. And the outcome was, the girl was in tears, crying her eyes out, wouldn't look up at me. And the other girl, her roommate, was looking at me as if I was the meanest man in the world. Like, she was just staring at me like, you know, look what you've done to my friend. And I felt really bad about it. Why didn't I just let it go? Why didn't I just laugh? Why wasn't it funny? It wasn't funny to me. It was just bloody annoying. Why didn't I see that? Hey, that's a kid. It's easy to do that. They forgot. So what? Anyway, you know, I went to the girls and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I said, it's happened before. Other girls have done it. I should have done it. Of course, none of this stopped the flow of tears. And it wasn't an act. I mean, they're frail. Well, they're not frail, but they're fragile. I don't know. They're 16 and they're sensitive. So I had the glaring of one girl who thought I was so mean, and the other one who wouldn't even look at me. So I went down straight to both the teachers and apologized with a bow to both of them for being mean to their students. And one of them said, no, that's okay. No, they were told no. And they were sort of taking my side, but I still felt like a creep. And there goes my, I always feel, and it's a weird thing, and I don't know if it comes from Christian upbringing or what, but there's always an evening of the score, and every time you start to feel good about yourself or what you've done, something is going to come along to prick your balloon, rain on your parade, put you back in your place, level the playing field, level the score, whatever. it's just going to make you feel not so special about yourself anymore, because you're not supposed to feel that way. Anyway, after that, I went to the tuck shop. The girl was okay by supper time. I don't think she'll ever forgive me. I think when I, you know, I mean, I'll always be the mean guy, and I can live with that. I mean, I have to sometimes in this job. I'm the one, if students are late or missing, I'm the one who has to really, you know, enforce the rules and to say, look, this is why we do this. So it's part of my job, and it's, you know, only host families get the love and the hugs, and I just, you know, I get the nice thank you notes. But I'm still not the most lovable creature in this program, and that's pretty understandable. It's just part of the, that goes with the job. Anyway, to make myself feel better, I went straight to the tuck shop after supper, bought three new Bark Lake shirts. One is sort of like a real winter type shirt, which is absolutely lovely for the fall. And I think I'm bringing that on my road trip. And then two others that have the date 1948, because that is the year of my birth and it is the year of Bark Lake's birth. And I think, come on, man, how many 70-year-olds are up here celebrating the same birthday as Bark Lake? So I feel happy with my purchases. All right, going to sign off now and just rest a bit more and then join them while they make s'mores. Bye for now. Chick, chick. Sitting by the water's edge. Spot I don't normally sit at between two cabins, because the camp is a little bit full today and some of my favorite spots are just too busy. But this is nice, all moss at my feet, sitting on a rock and right on the edge of Bark Lake. It's a nice day. Last night was very clear, and the teachers and a few students were thrilled to go out and back away from the lodge we're in and just gaze up at the stars and the Milky Way. It's quite impressive here. I was blown away by a lightning storm in the distance, and I've never seen one like that. I mean, it just lit up the sky far in the distance, and you never heard the thunder. It was just the flash of light was so incredibly bright. It was like a war zone, as if bombs were going off, you know. And not that I've watched that, but I've seen that on TV, movies. It's just big flashes of light, so you knew somebody was getting hit really hard, and I was just hoping it wasn't moving our way, but a spectacular light show nonetheless. And then today we our group, because we're on time, is the first to get their meals. It's wonderful. We just come 10 minutes early, and there are hundreds behind us, and we get to get in there and get out. This morning we did Echo Lodge activities. If you follow me on Facebook, you would have seen pictures of all these beautiful animal furs, the lynx and the silver fox and the beaver, and coyote and wolf. Really amazing. And the girls get to touch them with the back of their hands, and they're really quite wonderful specimens, as well as bones. And they get a little card, and they have to read about it and try to identify the skulls from what they've just read. And of course, the girls got perfect on all of them. The beaver was easy. You've got these huge canine teeth. Anyway, a good activity. And then after, games about involved hiding and finding things and making the connection to the animal world, how they have to hide their food supply from other predators, and then a game where the owl was trying to catch the mice, and the time just got shorter and shorter. They'd have to run and hide and then come in and get food and water and then back out, you know, a game of just fun. And the girls, what makes it so wonderful is the girls just get into it. I know I give glowing reports every year about how well behaved they are, and there's so many things I admire about the culture. There is a downside. Like, if you ask, does everybody understand? Everybody nods their head, yes. And then you just ask one individual, do you know what she just said? No. They won't. They'll answer in a group because they think that's the right answer. And I've mentioned this before. And very little curiosity. The teachers tell the facts, and the students just sort of nod and they listen. But not one student of 32 would come forward with a question of their own, why is this like this or something, which you would with a Canadian group. So those are the differences. Like I say, I think the almost the perfect, I don't know whether it be culture, I'm not talking politics here, but in terms of culture and behavior and societal norms, a sort of a midway point between Japan with its politeness and consideration for others, and Canada might be a pretty perfect place. But that is certainly the downside of the not asking. The girl who I made cry forgave me, it seems, by the time I handed out their Canada Study Tours t-shirts. The design hasn't changed since the first one. I know Shane doesn't approve, but that's fine. I'm not going to pay a lot extra to have a pro designer make a new t-shirt, because all it is, it's got a map of what's called Maple Kaido, or the Maple Route, on the back, showing the places they will visit all the way from pretty well Toronto and Niagara Falls all the way up to Quebec City. And they all wear those at their culture festival to show that they've been to Canada. I guess I'm repeating myself. I mean, this is the same sort of routine year after year. I'm more aware this year than ever before. And I know it's that magic number of 70. I'm wearing the Bark Lake Leadership and Conference Center 1948 to 2018, 70 years commemorative baseball tee. It's a very nice one I bought. Because I think it's pretty fantastic that Bark Lake and I have this same starting point. I guess if they have a big celebration in the fall, I think I want to come up for that, if I'm around. What else was I going to say on that note? Oh, yeah, the awareness of I'm getting older. I think seeing one of our host fathers who just turned 80 having that little stroke and having the doctor take away his license and have him have sometimes a more difficulty following the conversation. It's scary because, hey, that's only 10 years from now. And I'll be lucky if I got that 10 years. So I'm trying to still give myself 5 years. You who are listening who are much younger, you're not there yet. You may complain, oh, my memory's going, or I'm not as fit as I used to be, I've put on weight. But we're talking about the fear of a mental decline, you know, of like yesterday I was talking about a teacher, and then suddenly in the middle of it I confused her name, and I thought, who am I talking about? This Toshiko, which Toshiko? And it was one of those little blocks. We straightened it out as soon as I got her last name. I knew, oh, of course, all right, I'm on track. I hadn't made a mistake, but I thought I had. Maybe that was it. So as minor and as trivial as that may seem, you're aware that, well, that's just going to continue to happen more often. That's not something that's going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And I guess that's a scary part. And even we walked to the Echo Lodge, and it was a hell of a long walk. For anybody else, it's nothing. Hey, it's a jaunt. And the idea, like, my God, if I ever needed some mobility device to get around, I would not be able to. I simply could not. This is not set up for handicapped people at all. I mean, there's a ramp here and there for a couple of places, but just the dirt roads and the hills, you know, you couldn't manage in a scooter. Anyway, I'm sure I'll stop the program long before then, but the other counter to that is the fear that if I ever gave up this, or when I give up this, might almost accelerate the decline, you know, of, what do I do now? Here's the one thing that challenges me. When I sat around the campfire last night with the girls, I just sat behind their circle and listened to them sing these silly songs and do the dance moves, and the counselor's just right into it. It makes me happy to the point of tears. What a great thing. And again, this is repetitious, but it's something that feeds me. It keeps me going, keeps me wanting to already think about next year. I'm sort of prying to find out who might the teachers be. Before we leave, I'm going to book the dates for next year. And I guess I'd be very
very sorry to give it up. Much easier if the school just said one year, no, we're going somewhere else. But as long as this program remains as good as it is, and it is a very, very good program overall, the school's not going to walk away from that. This is kind of unique. And the fact that we have this unique place here at Bark Lake that's ours, that we get, you know, our table set aside for us, we get the best staff, we get the Oak Center, that's something you don't want to give up. Oh, God. Thought I had something a little more interesting than that, but that's my reflections as I sit here on the waterfront and wait for lunchtime. So, boys and girls, here's truly the Scarborough Dude, signing off once again from Bark Lake. I'm sure you can hear the girls in the background. They're in the canoes, three to a canoe in most cases, and a couple of the teachers on their own, and I was the odd man out. I actually kind of wanted to go there, but the priority, this is their program, this is not for me. And, I mean, I was offered, but it would have meant changing things around, and, yeah, I just didn't do it today. But my past reflections, I've been talking about growing old and looking into the future and worried about being 80 and, you know, becoming debilitated at 75 and all this crap. I don't know where it's coming from, but I guess it's a part of the aging process. You're looking ahead. But I stopped for a while and thought, well, wait a minute. I've been looking forward to Bark Lake for so long. Why am I sitting here looking into the dark future when I'm here now? And I was really struggling. How do I get back in? How do I push that reset button and get back into enjoying being where I am now, not about 5 years from or 10 years from now or next year? And I just became aware that I was spending so much time looking into places I don't need to be looking into, I guess. And then kind of felt good, took stock, and realized, wait a minute now, you're 70, you're excited to be wearing your t-shirt that says 1948 to 2018. It's a wonderful coincidence, and what a perfect time. Here I am at 70, you know, enjoying this, still doing this tour that I've been doing for 25 years, still up here, happy to be, still taking time off, still observing, still helping the girls push their canoes into the water, and I'll help them get them back on land, and still doing the things I enjoy, but happy to be here now. Suddenly it sank in. 70 is a fucking fine age to be. It's just a fine age to be, and a fine age to still be doing shit. Stuff that's special, stuff I enjoy. So, you know, I'm telling myself, hey, asshole, wake up. You know, smell the roses. They're right in front of you. And, yeah. Sometimes I just need that reminding, and I needed to tell you I'm back into a better space and enjoying watching the girls learn how to canoe. What a great thing. I mean, this is something they'll carry with them for a long time. One of our teachers is an experienced camper and canoeist, and so I made sure she got in the back. The senior teacher wasn't so sure about that. And I thought, well, I think in this case I know better. All right, anyway, it's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm just happy to be where I am. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
check, checking in. Phew, it's after midnight, maybe 20 after. On Sunday, well, technically Monday morning. I'm lying in my room here at Bark Lake. This is the final segment I'm going to record from Bark Lake. I would like to be in bed with the lights out, but I've got a load of laundry sitting in the washer, already finished, right next to a dryer full of a group of girls' laundry, and I don't dare open that door or take anything out and put mine in. We just should have planned it a little better. We get here and all the girls want to do laundry, and we organize them by groups, and the groups work out a system and what order they're going to go in. It's quite a process to watch. I may have mentioned that. And anyway, things didn't go quite as planned. Not everybody knew how to work the machines, and things got delayed. And here it is. I can't even start the dryer until this last load is out. Now, that's not a huge problem. There are many more things that I could have focused on, told you about, like what a wonderful time we had tonight at, well, the beach this afternoon, and then our dance party tonight. There's a great building here, the Pavilion, which is a roofed building with walls and a good solid wood floor. And each year on our last day, we've got another tradition here. They bring the food over, and we have our own meal away from the rest of the campers. And the girls perform for the staff, and sing songs and dance and whatnot. They were told by their teacher to each group perform a skit. And it kind of went off the rails because they didn't realize the purpose was to entertain the staff here, and instead it was games that only the Japanese girls could play and understand. So, well, they had great fun, but it was not very entertaining for the rest of us. But anyway, we closed off with the song, and then better than that, our lovely staff, Kate, Heather, and V, had on dresses and put on cowboy boots and cowboy hats or cowgirl, and taught them to dance a song by Hannah Montana. And it was fabulous. One of those, yeah, just, you know, girly kind of song with a lot of fun, a lot of moves. And they went through it. This was a song that was popular when these staff members here at the Bark Lake, when they were young, they all knew to dance too. So they brought it back and went over it at lunchtime and taught the girls, and it was just so much fun. You get 32 girls up on this wooden floor, bopping away and making all the moves and just loving it. And these girls catch on really quickly. And then they said, what music do you want? And the girls put on their own, and somebody put on Gundam Style, that crazy Korean hit, and this girl had all the moves. One of our students just acted out the entire thing, to, you know, rounds of applause and support from all the other girls. So just, it was just a blast. And again, I get very teary-eyed at these things because it was really quite beautiful, this connection of how much fun the girls were having and how much the Bark Lake staff all compete to see who gets to work with the Kamajo group, because it's the best group here. So I booked our dates for next year, committed myself to that. And said, we'll be back. And so in 2019, I guess I know what I'm doing, where I'll be. Anyway, something else happened that seemed very, very important at the time. And now it's probably kind of silly, but I'm going to relate it anyway. We had our beach at, you know, I forget what is it? The beach, I don't know what it's called. And it's a bit of a hike there, and I've done this hike 20 times more there and back. Today I just had my little sandals on and no leg brace. I thought, this will be easy. And my balance was just all off. And it was very rugged, over rocks and on planks and through the mud and so on. And it seemed three times longer than I remember it. But I couldn't keep my balance. And I fell way behind the group. And was having to hang on to trees. And because of this nerve that's not working right in my foot, the other leg doesn't trust it. And you just go all wonky. And so you're not dizzy, but your foot's not obeying orders, and the other foot's confused. And it was dangerous. Like, I was really worried about falling on the rocks. And that bummed me out, of course. And of course, when we got to the beach, there was a motorboat there, and I went straight up to the lifeguard and said, I'm going to need a ride back. So actually, the day ended with a very nice ride across the lake. And I didn't have to do that walk again. But meanwhile, after the walk, we got to the water. And my favorite time during this whole program, and I've talked about this every year, is just to sit in the water, just sit, bum on the sand, right up to my neck. And just listen to the girls frolicking in the water. And it's a beautiful image of these girls from a private school in Kamakura have flown halfway around the globe, and here they are splashing and playing in this absolutely beautiful lake in rural Ontario, or not rural Ontario, like out in the woods. It's fabulous, and it's a great, great facility, but just that image. And then I, click back and think, well, why are they here? And I think of all the connections, all the people involved, and of course, my role in this whole thing, and I feel really damn good about it. Anyway, I guess I was a little bummed about my foot, and I sat there. And I suddenly had, I guess I wouldn't call it a revelation, but a change. That I suddenly realized, I want to go to Atlantic Canada. I don't want to drive to British Columbia. And all along I've been saying, there's the plan, driving out to BC right after the tour. And I don't know that I was ever committed to it. I told friends about it, and, I was saying the words, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But I'd given up on Newfoundland, which I really wanted to do, because I was just too busy before the tour and didn't have the time. And it just almost out of the blue, as I sat in the water, I thought of the Atlantic Ocean. I thought of all the time I could spend on the island of Newfoundland and maybe even over to PEI and then, of course, to Nova Scotia to visit friends there. And I laughed out loud. I just laughed. Like it was as if almost another weight had been lifted. Hey, I don't have to. I don't have any commitment to that plan. I don't have to follow through. This is not set in stone. This is not something I've bought tickets for. I could just change my mind just like that. And so I did. So the plan as of now, and if I have another reversal, is that I'll head east instead of west. And I'm feeling very happy about that. So there you go. I'll end on that note. May seem trivial. May seem, and for most people, who the hell cares? What difference does it make to you? None at all. But to me, it's a major change. It means I will be back and able to go to the celebrations for Kerouac in Lowell, Massachusetts, without having to race back. Oh, and of course, the rock that I was supposed to deliver, so it could go to Croatia, I realized, I can give my son, he and I are on the same train from Montreal to Toronto on next Sunday, a week tonight, I guess. Yeah, a week, my God. We'll be on that train, and I can do a rock handover to him, and he'll be flying back to British Columbia, and he can give it to you, David Brent. So I'm free of that responsibility as well. I gotta go check on the bloody laundry. I hope the girl's laundry is out. I really don't want to be the one to be pulling it out of the dryer. And I don't know which room number the girl's, you know, who's responsible. I can't go knocking on doors at 12:30. Scarborough Dude. Signing out from Bark Lake. Bye for now.